government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Vince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com on this September the 24th on the West Coast, now already in the Eastern and Central time zones. It's September 25th, 2008. A lot going on. I'll be with you for the next hour. I have a return visit. It's been quite a while since tonight's guest has been on the air. And I'll introduce him in just a moment. Want to refer to something that I covered on the TNT News Hour this afternoon. It's on every Wednesday, by the way, 1 o'clock Pacific Time, 4 o'clock Eastern. And I covered this issue of the bailout going on in Washington right now. And we're not being told the truth about what's really going on. And I covered this from my insight as to what I have been studying the past couple of years and the money laundering, the massive embezzlement or theft from the U.S. Treasury of trillions of dollars. It's been put into offshore accounts. Most of the accounts have been found. The funds were, again, duplicated. We're talking about hypothesized funds that were put through banks and around the world, basically, North Korea, North Vietnam, India, Germany, to name a few of the places. Brazil seems to be a place that's cropping up, probably Venezuela or some other South American countries as well. And there's a dilemma that the criminals who are doing this, and these people go all the way to the White House and back. And we're talking about many of the central banks in New York, Citibank, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, or Morgan Stanley, as they're known as a brokerage firm, Wachovia, Bank of America. They've all been involved. And there's a laundry list of banks and people, many congressmen are involved in this scandal as well. And what you're seeing on TV, including the president's speech, is nothing but smoke and mirrors. It's lies flat out. And I will say this, and there are others that know this that are writing this and saying it. And they're not coming after us because we're telling the truth, and they know it. And it will draw more attention to it. We've been following what has been said, and there was a reference to $14 trillion twice, which happens to be $1.6 trillion more than the actual aggregate sums of the defaulted payments in Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Those amount to $12.4 trillion. So they're actually tacking on an extra $1.6 trillion as a diversion. You add $1.6 trillion to $12.4 trillion, and you get $14 trillion, which is exactly how much money they've received for the Wantagate payments, and these are international payments that are being withheld. This is about to bring us to the brink of war because of this criminality. And I'm sharing this information with you because no one on the mainstream media is talking about it whatsoever. You can go to my website, directlightproductions.com, and read about it in the most recent news posting. And you can go read about it at worldreports.org in London, England, published by Christopher Story. I talked about this afternoon without having read his article, and I posted it to my site this evening just before going live on the air. And I was astounded that we both figured out what was going on. Now, I don't have the contacts that Mr. Story has, but I can discern what's going on, and this is very important. They're talking about paying off credit cards and student loans with this money. What does this have to do with the housing crisis? People need help. We need to get rid of this usury credit system totally and the fiat banking system. And we need to be told the truth about what is actually going on. In fact, I'm I'm composing a piece, which I'm going to publish on my website, and most likely it will also be in the Idaho Observer. It's going to be called Dancing with the Devil. Seems that Dancing with the Stars is the new popular TV show, and we've got a government that's dancing with the devil. And I'm going to describe the Federal Reserve, the IRS, and all of the connections to these banking scandals, which are being blamed on people who were given mortgages by these people. And these people have shown that they can't manage $12.4 trillion worth of assets, and we're going to give them another trillion or so. And this is not a temporary fix, and that they're lying flat out. If you watch Ben Bernanke's lips or watch Henry Paulson's lips, you can see them quiver every time they're answering a question, every time they're making a statement. And that said, we're going to move on to something much more positive and in a spiritual sense. Tonight's guest is a businessman. He owns several companies, and he has several websites. He is a book publisher. Actually, he publishes all kinds of books. Textbooks, which find their way to schools. He has a book binding company that refurbishes books, used books, gets them back out into the market, as well as he donates many books. He is an author. He has written several books about the spiritual realities that are facing mankind in these modern times. He is a man of God. He speaks the truth. He is an innovator of technologies. He supports inventors. In fact, he is a very good friend of my weekly guest on Friday nights, Jim Murray. And he is also my good friend. There are a million things I can say about him, but I would prefer to allow him to share those things with the listening audience. With that, I welcome back again, after a long hiatus away from Evident Footprints, to Evident Footprints, Mr. David High. David, welcome to the show.
Hello, Don. Good to speak with you again.
You got to hear a little bit of my rant here about what's going on, and I'm trying to bring keep an even keel, fair and balanced perspective on what's happening. Is it any surprise to you with what we know about Revelation and the coming times that we're facing, that we're smack dab in the middle of a judgment period?
No, it's not a surprise at all. Anybody who reads their Bible could see that something like this was evident and impending, and here we are in the middle of it, and everybody seems surprised. But I was watching the news yesterday, and they said this $700 billion bailout amounts to $10,000 for every American citizen that we're going to have to pay back somehow, someday. My
yes.
wife had a great idea today. She said, why don't they just send us the $10,000?
Yeah, exactly.
If they just send every American citizen $10,000, we probably could figure out a better way to use it.
Absolutely. And we certainly wouldn't be using it for money laundering purposes.
No.
This is just another repeat performance of what we've been witnessing. For the past two or so years, I've been writing about this. I've been on countless talk shows and then my own show. And I've talked about this topic with many of my guests. And even if you're not an expert in the details, you can sense something's wrong. You know, if you use the discernment that we get from the Holy Spirit, you know something is not right with this scenario. And we're not being told the truth.
Think about this. How many bubbles have we had in the last 30, 40 years? We've had house bubbles, right?
Oh, yes.
We've had them in real estate. We've had them in banking. We've had them in lots of things. I think what we're going through right now is the bursting of the political leadership bubble. Mm-hmm. Because they have led us down the primrose lane, and you know, Humpty Dumpty can't get all this together again. broken so horribly that they are scrambling, madly scrambling to find an answer, and are having trouble finding it. All of their tricks don't work anymore.
Yes. Well, as I alluded to, the bank accounts overseas, these offshore accounts that they have hidden this money in, have been found, and they've been frozen because under the Basel II agreement, they have to prove source of funds. They have to show that this is clean money, and it's actually created out of thin air, just like what the Federal Reserve does with the dollar. And we are supposed to be in compliance with Basel II. We should have a gold standard financial system here. The rest of the world has moved in that direction. We are the only country in the world not complying with that. And we're witnessing on TV. This is being put on TV. We're being shown the corruption and the lies that are taking place as if that legitimizes it.
When this kind of thing happens, there should be everybody should take a deep breath and realize that this fake money that this monopoly money that we use every day has no backing, has no value, and the reasonable response, if the government won't institute a gold standard, the citizens certainly can by starting to convert part of their assets into gold and silver. I'm in Las Vegas in a hotel right now. I've just attended the once every 4 year mining conference, and it's fairly evident to the people out here who pull it out of the ground that the price of metals is about to skyrocket because the paper money is not worth anything.
Yes, and I failed to mention you are actually in that business too.
Yes, sir.
That's another dimension of who you are and what you do. And
I've been trying to get the church to wake up for the last 20 years and to put part, just a small piece. Nobody wants to put everything in one thing, but you ought to have a small piece of your liquidity in precious metals. It's smart. And people who have done that, we've encouraged to do that over the years, every one of them have made money. In this society, it would be almost impossible to lose money in metals.
Yes. Now, you're handling gold and silver. Are you handling any other precious metals besides those?
Well, those are the main two because they're the easiest to trade. If you have a problem, you can turn them into cash almost anywhere at any time. And you know, moving to exotic metals beyond those really doesn't make much sense right now, because there's not a real broad market for them. But gold and silver, you can trade anywhere as you do U.S. dollars.
I'm sure you're probably selling the smaller denominations in coins. I'm getting mixed reports from people that I know. I know a lot of people in that business who are saying that delivery sometimes is from 3 to 6 weeks. I've heard others say they can do it in 2 days.
Well, think about this. Recently, the price of silver dropped to $10.50. I had a customer called me, wanted 5,000 ounces of silver. I called my normal supply chain and ordered the metal, and they said, sorry, we don't have any. And I said, well, you don't have any. Why isn't the price going up? It's going down. They said, we don't have a clue. We don't know. We've been in this business for 40 years. We've never seen anything like this in 40 years. Anytime there's tight supply, price rises. And as of this day, I still can't pick the phone up and order from my standard sources silver coins. They tell me that next week they probably will have some supply again. Well, in the last 2 weeks since I've tried to buy metal, the price has now risen $3 an ounce.
At these
conferences that I've just attended out here are saying that they believe by Christmas it's going to be $20 an ounce. And I think that may be conservative.
I've heard it might go up to $150 an ounce. But then again, if you look at that, what you just described, I think what you're really talking about here is they're trying to coerce people, at least to subliminally, to dump their silver, to say, well, before I lose any more money, I'm just going to get rid of it. This was a mistake. And they'll move in and get the silver at bargain basement prices and then shoot it up like a rocket ship.
There's certainly somebody who's bought a bunch of it cheap. It's very difficult to find supply at the moment. But
yeah,
I've had several people that I was able to get just a little bit for, and you know they're already up $3 an ounce in 2 weeks. So, and I think this is only the beginning. So
yes,
certainly, while people are manipulating our currencies, that's a given, that's obvious. The one thing that is more difficult, not to say they're not doing it, but that's more difficult to manipulate is metal. Because over time, it will find its value.
Yes. It usually sustains its value. It always has the same value. The difference is that our currencies that are stacked up against us always are changing.
Someone told me once it made a lot of sense. They said in the 1920s when there was a crisis, 1 ounce of gold would buy a very nice suit. And today, 1 ounce of gold will still buy a very nice suit. It has not changed in value as to what it will purchase. The only thing that the purchasing value has changed on in metals is how many dollars it will purchase.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
It buys a lot more dollars now than it used to.
Yes. And I've heard that same explanation used for buying a house. You know, you could mm-hmm. you could buy a house with 40 pieces of gold, and today you can still do the same thing. Gold has appreciated substantially over the years. But this is orchestrated. One thing that you know, these people who are causing these prices to go up and down know full well what they're doing. The thing is, mm-hmm. Now we're talking about survival here, because we're looking at our economy, which is an illusion. It's
right.
Totally an illusion, and they've created a whole society and generations of a society that are believing that it's real, and that the measurement of a person is how much of this they hold.
Well, Don, think about this. Let me go back to Revelation for a minute.
Sure.
If indeed in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, 12, 13, there's an Antichrist who sets up an earthly kingdom, and the purpose of that kingdom is to completely enslave the human race. I think that's a very brief explanation of those chapters.
Yes.
At some point, if the governments of the world throw in with the powers of darkness, believing people all over the planet will find themselves at some point in direct opposition to their own government. So if that's the case, all of us will someday find ourselves aghast at our own governments, and we'll find ourselves in opposition to their policies. It's only a matter of when you come to that conclusion. Not if you come to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. That day will arrive for all of us.
Yes. We're picking up a lot of the voices in the background. Could you ask those people if they would like to be on the show? give us a number and we'll patch them into the board.
Yeah. I keep moving.
just kidding. Okay. The last time, David, you were on Evident Footprints, you and I talked about repentance. And this has been a shifting in the overall consciousness of people. I hear this on the Patriot networks. I hear it right here on the BBS network. People are coming to the realization that we have to turn to God. And we have to not lose our faith in God. And you've had on your past appearances a very powerful message And I would just like, in light of all the things that have transpired since you've been on the show in the past, if you could speak from your heart a little bit and or a lot, it's up to you, as to what you see happening and give us some inspiration.
Well, one of the things Revelation speaks of is when the so-called securities and systems of this world begin to unravel, as we're seeing right now. You remember in the 1920 stock market crash, people were jumping out of buildings because their hearts failed them and they saw no hope. They saw their fortunes, their reputations diminished in hours. So they were literally jumping out of buildings and committing suicide because hope was withdrawn from them. And in any kind of circumstance as we're going through now, it's very easy to take the short vision, the short appraisal of what's going on. If we're not careful, we will fail to realize that God is still on the throne. He didn't go anyplace. Just because the leader of AIG was removed or someone mm-hmm. else has been removed from an influential position, God has not moved. He's still on the throne. And my relationship with him encourages me every day that if all of my wealth is gone, if all of the underpinnings of our society diminish themselves, God has not gone anywhere. He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still the one who's in charge of my life. And if I will listen to him and listen to the Holy Spirit's voice inside of me, which is, you know, all of us hear that voice. It's difficult for us sometimes to trust it because God's leadership will take us in directions that are not normal or comfortable for us. Let me give you a for instance. God may lead us to give in the middle of a crisis. We may have people who are hurting, who are in need, and the Holy Spirit's voice might come to us and say, listen, I want you to give or go or do or be involved in something that's different than you've done before. So to obey that voice takes faith. And I believe that that's going to happen more and more and more as these crises, because this is not the last one by any means. This is only the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beginning of the troubling of times that we're in right now. So as that increases, I think that we have to be very careful to not look at our retirement plan, not look at the bank balance, not look at the vesting that we have in a company. All of those old underpinnings are going to go away. But if I look to the Lord God and my relationship with him, stability will be there for me. And I found that if you can find stability in a crisis, it creates opportunity. Money never disappears. It just changes hands.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying. In fact, God speaks of money. Jesus spoke of money more in the sense of distinguishing the average person from the money changers. And he spoke of wealth in terms of abundance. And, of course, he was speaking about all the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes. In Luke 16 it says, if you have not been faithful with the mammon of unrighteousness, who will commit into your hands true riches? Well, the mammon of unrighteousness is, in our case, would be dollars.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't been faithful with the money that has been placed in your hand, God says, who's going to give you real riches, true riches? Well, that's our relationship, our trust, our confidence, the unwavering part of us that cannot be shaken when everything else shakes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of shaking going on right now.
Yes. And there's a positive side to that, too. I don't mean to sound like an alarmist. The reason I point out the things I do is so we can discern what is actually going on. Because we can get emotionally caught up, as you well mentioned, when you have people jumping out of windows from skyscrapers, because they just can't deal with what hand they've drawn, you know, as if it were a card game, as if life was just playing cards and hedging your bets.
Well, I have a friend who's with me on this at this conference, and his wife, who's a school teacher, has her retirement in AIG. And, you know, Oprah was on yesterday with an economist telling everybody to pull all their money out of their all of their places. Well, that kind of a panic and fatalistic view creates, I believe, the exact wrong position to approach the problem. If you're the victim and you're reacting, you're probably going to make an emotional decision, which is probably going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and say, all right, Father, you're in charge of my life. What is it that you would like for me to do? Because he knows tomorrow. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. If we can take that breath and listen to heaven and begin to respond as we're led and directed rather than our emotions are taking us by the nose and leading us, I think we're going to be in much better shape. Where we can be part of the answer, solution, and the stable approach to this. Because if you look at the news, you can tell clearly that Washington is in a panic. I mean, they are just in a flat panic because they've been caught with their pants down. This is not good.
But it had to happen.
Absolutely had to happen. Because it's a house of cards and there's no way it could sustain itself. And now that it has happened, everybody else is, you know, just running in circles with their hair on fire. It doesn't do any good. We have to realize that my dependency, my future, my security doesn't come from Washington.
Absolutely. Now, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up because I've had a few guests, some callers into the show, people that I talk to on a regular basis, ask me when I tell them this, when I describe this concept of an illusory type of wealth, the monetary system, the fiat banking system, the usury credit, and they ask me, well, how do you defeat these people? How do we reclaim our sovereignty when they have so much power? And it's that spirit inside that leads me to say, and it's really not my words, it's the spirit. It's the Holy Spirit saying, take the money off the table, off all the tables. Take the money out of the equation. What do you have? Where are these people's power now? Because we have been taught and trained and brainwashed, mind-controlled, propagandized into respecting these people because they might have more of the paper than we do.
Yes.
And that's pretty silly. it's actually quite childish.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We do have a cultural response that we have been conditioned to give. One thing that I've been appreciated, I've been able to go to 50-some countries and interact with lots of different cultures. And culture has much, much more power than we would ever care to admit. And we have been culturally conditioned to the responses that we're presently having where we want Washington to solve all of our problems. I'm not waiting for them to come up with an answer. God's already given me a direction for my life, and that's the path I'm choosing. I trust him. I don't trust them. My hope is not in man. I'm not waiting until tomorrow to see what the president and Barack Obama and John McCain can come up with to fix my problems. They're not my source.
Yes. And that's a powerful statement that you just made because we are conditioned into assuming that these political candidates, despite the history of all political candidates, they never live up to the promises that they make. They're always caught in deceit and less than honorable deeds.
they can never fulfill their promises because what they're promising is what God has asked the church to do. The church is supposed to be caring for the poor, and what we have said is, well, I pay my taxes, let the government do it. If I'm investing in caring for the poor, if I'm investing in caring for the sick, if I am visiting the prisoner and teaching him the truth about his relationship with heaven, if I'm being responsible to the command God has given me, I'm not waiting for the government to do what God told me to do. And it makes me a better person if I do that.
Yes.
So what we have done in America is we say, I have paid my taxes, let them care for the sick. I've paid my taxes, let them take care of the poor. I've paid my taxes, let them educate my children. And look what it got us.
Yeah.
It's not a pretty thing.
David, would you share your feelings about what mainstream TV ministry has evolved into? And what I'm not trying to bait your statement with my personal convictions, other than to just remark that it seems to me that what's most important to most of these organizations is how much money they can bring in, and how best they can skirt around the issues that might result in them losing their 501c3 designations.
But I've been watching this for a long time, Don, and here's what I think happens. You get on the radio, and you're on one station, and you get letters from 20 people, and they've accepted Christ. You prayed for their mother, and she got healed. You have prayed for an uncle, he got a new job. You start getting this feedback, and you think, well, this is wonderful. I think I need to go on two stations, four stations. 186 stations. I know some of these guys are on 3,000 and 4,000 stations. Can you imagine the bill they have to pay? And what happens is, once you create the monster, it has to eat every day. I remember hearing one time a gentleman say, if you don't send me an offering, this work of faith will have to go off the air. And I said, wait a minute, that's a contradiction in statements here. If I don't do what you want me to do, your work of faith is going to have to go off the air. And my response was, let it. Who said
that you might guess? I'll hold the door for you.
Who said they had to be on 4,000 stations? I think that, again, what happens is that ministries get baited and they buy into the same thing that the world has, and that is the more you have, the more successful you are, the bigger pile you control, the more influence is granted, the more invitations are given, and you get fed that same lie that says, I can't back up ever, I have to keep going forward, and that's an expensive road.
Mm-hmm.
And I've, in my life, probably in your life, everything is not straight up. There's lots of corrections. There's lots of instruction. There's lots of things that I need to stop and listen to in my relationship with heaven rather than assuming what God wants. Once in a while, it may not be bad to ask him what he wants. And I think that assumptive growth is what bites people. So
yeah.
What happens is you almost prostitute yourself to keep feeding the machine. And it breaks my heart to see that happen.
What you just described is so true. And at one point in my life, a number of years ago, I had that very experience. I mean, the truth in what you said came about. And I had it out with the Lord, and the message finally came through. When I was ready to listen, it was, you were serving me. I never said you weren't, but you were serving me the way you thought you should serve me, not the way I was telling you to.
Yes.
And when that message came through, I learned to listen.
Well, times and seasons change, and if we're not willing to adapt, you know, Moses was pretty comfortable out on the backside of the desert after 80 years until God spoke to him and said, it's time to go back to Egypt. And he wasn't too happy about that. you know, he was saying, well, God, don't you remember they had my picture in the post office in Egypt? They're looking for me down there. I can't go back down there. God said, don't worry about it. I'm with you. I'll take care of it. And so things change. It just is a heartbreak to see good men who can preach a pure message end up talking about nothing but money because they know they have a budget that has to be met or they're going to have to back up and lose face. And that's a heartbreak.
And then we have these scandals, too, and not that we need to dwell on that other than, you know, some of these people are the biggest hypocrites in their message. And forgiveness is important, but it's almost like, I could use Jim Baker as an example. I remember he was given a 46-year sentence. You're talking about massive, massive theft or embezzlement from his own organization for personal use. And he only spent a fraction of that time. It was as though they said, look, this guy is worth a lot more to us out of jail than he is in jail, even though the system is set up that they make money either way, the system, I'm saying. So,
right.
So they put him back out on the street, so to speak, and he went into a ministry, and it was back to the old game. Jimmy Swaggart, he didn't really pay anywhere near the penalty that Jim Baker did. And evidently, standing outside that situation, you know, I never was a follower of any of those people. In fact, I thought their whole approach was very dishonest and very pretentious, and in essence, they were blaspheming the Holy Ghost while they were condemning those that they would so readily call sinners. They themselves were the biggest hypocrites. But you would get the feeling that there was something more sinister behind it, that maybe they weren't giving the kickbacks on time or in the amount.
Don, I don't know either of those men personally, but I do know some others who have been caught up in really sad situations. And to me, I've been in the ministry a long time. I turned 61 yesterday. And
happy birthday.
Well, thanks. But the heartbreak for me is that many, 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 I think most of these guys began going to ministry for the right reasons. They have a tender heart. And this this bait on the end of the hook that tells them that they're doing a great job and they need to do more of it just puts them in a horrible predicament where they cut corners and create that monster that just eats them alive. So I've never met Jimmy Swaggart, never met Jim Baker. Probably wouldn't know him if I bumped into him. But I know other men that I know have had that similar circumstance happen to them, where they just get so emotionally drained and stretched and have to have another dollar, and it just eats them up. So that, to me, the answer is, that's what Americans do with debt. It's the same thing. How many people have their credit cards maxed out because they can't make their mortgage because they're living in a house they can't afford? It's the same bait. So whether you're in ministry or you're in business, it's really easy to be critical. And if we're not careful, it's the same mechanism.
Yes. Well,
so I think that the answer for the days ahead for Christians, we need to downsize, we need to get out of debt, we need to stop playing the game, we need to be wise about what we do, we need to tithe and give offerings, and go back to the scriptural approach to finance, because my Bible says the Lord will make us rich with his prosperity that adds no sorrow with it. There are a lot of people who are living in nice homes, but they're not happy.
Yeah, you're right, and that's because they're following the dictates of the system that teaches us that if we drive a smaller car than our next door neighbors, or the wrong color, or the type of clothes we wear, or where we send our children to school, just an endless list of things that are intended to keep us to be good little worker ants or worker bees, just mining gold for the powers that be, while they get rich on our blood and our sweat and our tears.
And the same spirit that got those guys in ministry you were talking about. It's the same thing.
Yes. So I use that example, and one reason why I do that is, you know, when I got saved, when I came to know the Lord and really, really know the Lord, it wasn't because of another man or another person. It was because of the Lord.
Right.
And the Lord worked many, many things in my life. I was in music at the time, and I did things that, even as I look back on my past, I think those things are like miracles. But they were everyday occurrences. I could look at them, or someone who'd never experienced those things would look at them as miracles compared to how things turn out in their life. And and I'm not speaking about ego. I'm just saying that I was driven, but I was conscious of what was driving me, what was putting me in these places, because I had something to offer. Something of goodness and love and light, and not all this darkness that has. So I'm sort of, you know, my life has been sort of a counterbalance to the negative side of many of those things. There are very dark sides in the music industry, and I never participated in those.
Well, we can keep ourselves from being enslaved on any level. Whether it be drugs or music or, you know, sexual relationships or ego or pride or any of those things that are out there that are waiting to entrap us, if we can stay by the Holy Spirit's power in a position where they are not our master but God, the Lord God is, then we are available for the Holy Spirit to use as agents of change in the world we live in.
Yes. You know, it's quite ironic that my biggest lesson in life was involving a church. My biggest lesson, and it's a long story, but you know, it's been written about, and I was offered movie contracts to bring that story out, and instead, what I did is I followed what I was being inspired to do by the Lord Himself. When I came to the point to where I was ready to accept healing, I was healed. And and I had the appropriate conversations through prayer and through fasting and through listening to that voice. When I heard it, it set me on the path that's brought me where I am today at this very moment. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy. By any means.
It's an interesting concept, Don, when, you know, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I've learned that if I can finally hear God's voice, that the faith I need to be obedient to that voice comes with the message that I hear.
Yes.
In other words, God says something to you, and you don't have to wait for faith once you hear it. Once you know it's God's voice, the faith you need is embedded in the message. It comes with it. The hard part is hearing.
Oh, yeah. And you know, there's no mistaking it. I can say this from my own experience, that where there might be fear, we know who causes the fear, who is the author of fear.
Sure.
But you are empowered just by knowing where that message is coming from, and it's automatic. the fear is not there. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do, because in 2 Timothy 1:6, I believe it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And in the original language, that word fear is cowardice. God didn't make you a coward. And most people are so afraid of what the government's going to do, so afraid of what the IRS is going to do, so afraid of if they don't do what their doctor says, what will happen to them. It's cowardice. If you can hear God's voice, it's the spirit of love, that's agape, power, dunamis, and a sound mind. How many people you know right now whose mind is not very sound? They're just running in circles.
Oh, my goodness.
But if you can hear God's voice, that's where the power, love, and sound mind comes from.
Yeah, I don't have enough fingers on my hands or toes on my feet to count that. And it's you know, what's interesting too is that there are those out there that are preaching a message or teaching a message, such as the one that you're sharing right now, and there are so many that feel that they have a better way, even though it's not working in their life. They'll tell you how unhappy they are, but when you offer them another opportunity or a possible solution, they reject it because of the level of conditioning, the amount of conditioning that has created their thought patterns and their consciousness, their awareness of what's actually occurring.
Well, that's what I was talking about. The power of culture is much stronger than anybody would ever believe.
Yes.
What we think we ought to do is more powerful than what we know God wants us to do. And making that transition is so difficult. So difficult. When you look at Israel, when they were in the wilderness, it only took one generation from the time they walked across on dry ground until they were out doing the very things that God told them not to do, and it says that generation forgot the Lord. The culture of Israel in the wilderness became stronger than the word of the Lord in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
In America, that's exactly where we are. We have lost our relationship with heaven, and we have substituted a relationship with Washington, and they have failed us. The answer is we need to go back to heaven.
Yeah.
We need to go do it God's way. God's way works. Washington's doesn't.
Yeah. Now, there are those in the ministry that are teaching that God is punishing us, when in reality, I think my feeling, my conviction is that's part of that lie. That's part of Satan's lie.
Yes.
And that we... Does she want to be on the show?
No. I'm out in the hallway in my hotel.
I see.
Just came out of the elevator. I'm trying to get away,
okay.
But I'm not doing very well.
No, it's all right. She sounds pretty exuberant there. She must have won some money.
Now they're trying to find their room.
Oh, she's turning in circles, huh?
Yes.
Well, I was kind of saying that there are those that will ignore that message as if there is someone that they feel can deliver that message to them better. You know, it's like the people that want to root for a specific sport team because they're winners. And they don't want to identify with the losing side. And of course, it's the same way in politics. And I see organized religion has become similar, very similar to that. That if you don't belong to a 10,000 member church sitting in a big arena, you're not worthy, or you know, you're lesser than other Christians.
Yes. again, Don, we've tried, when we let other people tell us what is okay and what is not okay, it never works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got to be strong enough to hear that voice inside. And
yes.
And now I love the way you talk about repentance. That's part of your ministry, obviously. And in our closing minutes here, I would love for you, if you would, to explain the concept of repentance on an individual basis, but how that impacts the body, the whole body of Christ. Because people are searching for answers, and they really are hungry for the spiritual food.
There's one of my favorite verses says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. When God himself says to me, son, if you will turn from your sin and turn to me, I won't ever bring it up again. How many times, Don, have you gone to God and repented of something, and a year later, 5 years later, 20 years later, God says, you know, I really care about you, but I'm really having trouble getting over what you did 5 years ago. That never happens.
No, he doesn't do that. Yeah.
No, he never does. So the goodness of God leads us to repentance. God is so good. And wanting to have a relationship with him leads us, that goodness leads us to repentance. So my job is to believe that he means it. And if I honestly, sincerely believe that God means what he says, that if I will confess my sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. If I believe that and walk in that forgiveness, God makes all the difference in my life. Well, that lady is just running
around
the hall yelling. Sorry.
I think she lost her whiskey bottle. I think that's her problem right now.
I don't know what's going on, but
it's okay. We need that energy. We haven't had that yet on the show, even when you've been on.
Repentance is the greatest gift because the blight and spot and record that was against me has been eradicated. I remember when I was struggling with this years ago, God asked me a question, changed my life. He said, where are your sins? Because the devil was coming, telling me that I could never be used, that my life was a waste, you knew what you did. How do you think you're ever going to be worth anything in the kingdom of God? And I was going through all that guilt and condemnation. And so God speaks to me one night, and he says, where's your sin? I said, well, I thought it was under the blood. He said, exactly. You tell the devil, if he's man enough to go get it and bring it back and give it to you, you'll take it. And it clicked in me. I said, all right, devil, you think you're so smart. You go get my sin that's under the blood of Christ, and you bring it back and give it to me, and I will let you beat me with it. But until you can do that, you leave me alone. God forgave me. It's washed in the blood of Christ. And I don't think you have the courage to go get it. And you know, that ended that argument.
Yes.
It's never come up again.
Now, what comes to mind is your book, Move Over Satan, You're in My Seat.
Yes, sir.
And to me, your faith, the faith that you express, and you just expressed it again, that's why that came into my consciousness. I also have that book posted on my website. You have been a sponsor. You actually assisted me in launching my radio career, and I'm forever indebted to you for that.
And, well, it wasn't much, but you're welcome.
Well, no, it was everything. Maybe to you it was not much, but to me it was everything, and as it is with all of my sponsors. and my listeners. You know, I get a lot of positive email from folks thanking me for the messages that guests like yourself and really all the guests bring. We had a caller on the show last night thanking me for the show and thanking my guest just said that the message rings so true. I get tons of email from folks, and I try to answer all of it. And the one thing that people are grateful for is the leadership. And that's one thing that I know about you and everything that you do. You are a leader. It is very evident that God is using you in that way, in that very positive way of uplifting people and empowering people to be the best that they can be and without disavowing God's influence in their lives.
Well, Don, God's job is to forgive. My job is to repent. Repent simply means the very simple version is you're going in the wrong direction. Turn around. Once you have turned around, what is the point of God saying you used to be going in the wrong direction?
Mm-hmm.
What God says is, great, you're coming in the right direction. There's no condemnation in being affirmed that you've made a right decision. Condemnation has no place in the believer's life. I repent, God forgives, condemnation goes away because I'm now going in the right direction, and God affirms that decision. I'll give you, for instance, there was a time I wasn't tithing in my life. God challenged me, and I said to my wife, I remember saying, listen, we're in trouble. We're going to go under financially anyway. God is just hounding me about tithing. Since we're going to go broke anyway, I think I'll start tithing. At least I can blame him. I mean, I had no faith other than to do what I was told. That was 35 years ago, Don, and I haven't had a bill in 35 years I couldn't pay. It's just been the most amazing journey. And not once in those 35 years has God ever said to me, I remember when you didn't tithe. I wasn't happy about that. That's condemnation. What he has done in the last 35 years is encouraged that decision I've made by giving me peace, sending me blessings, surprising me with prosperity I didn't deserve. He has affirmed my decision that I'm going in the right direction. That's the difference. And if you're getting condemnation, there's something out of whack somewhere. I repent, God forgives, then he confirms.
Mm-hmm.
He affirms my decisions.
Yes, that's powerful.
It is, and it's simple, but it works. If people would just try it God's way. If you're not happy with how your life is going, you owe it to yourself to try God's way once. And then when you find out he really isn't the mean old guy with a big stick waiting to bash you, he really is a loving father wanting to encourage you in his ways that work, it becomes addictive. You really want to live that way.
Yes. When you were on my show in the past, this was last year actually, there was a lady that called into the show. I don't know if you remember her, Marianne Ponder from Arkansas. She always offered something, and she was a master at bringing people together, at networking, and just introducing people. And she would do this by calling into talk shows like this. Some on the Patriot Networks, and she just passed away yesterday. I've heard more people talk about her in the past 2 days than all the days I've known her. Just speaking about the faith that she exuded in everything that she did. She was a prayer warrior. And you could tell that she had the armor of God on in everything that she did.
We all have a role to play, and if we'll play it, God will see that others come and rest under it. It's It's the parable of the little seed that became a big tree that the birds would rest in.
Mm-hmm.
If you let God lead your gift, it will cause others to rest in the shade of that gift. So apparently that's who she was. That's encouraging. That's exciting.
Yes. And she always had an encyclopedia full of links that she could rattle off the top of her head. You need to go to this website and check this out. And these people are doing really good work, and there's an important message that needs to get out. She was constantly leading in that way. But it was from spirit.
Yes.
It wasn't a mental thing. She had no agenda other than to follow that inner voice. And that's what was so great. All the other talk show hosts are devastated with her passing. And I had a chance to talk to a few of them, and I said, look, let's celebrate this woman's life. Let's learn from the example that she set, because we had it right there in the palm of our hands, and we didn't realize it. Let's become in the position we're in. She didn't have a talk show. You know, we do. She wasn't writing articles, but she was bringing all of us together. That's a pretty powerful message there, and a pretty powerful example. And I think,
John,
go ahead.
Do I have time to share another thought with you?
Yeah, we can roll as long as you want. If the spirit's leading you, you know, we can go over.
Okay. Well, let me just give you something to think about with this lady's passing.
Sure.
Every hour, there are approximately 1,000 people going to heaven. If you look at the global population, how many people are dying, about how many Christians there are on the earth, roughly speaking, it's about 1,000 new believers an hour are going to heaven. And they are marching in an endless parade before the throne of God. Imagine if you're sitting in the grandstand and 1,000 people an hour are passing in front of you. All brand new believers, all wide-eyed, just got to heaven. When you talk about the continual celebration that's occurring in heaven, if you were part of that group walking in right now in front of the presence of God, and Jesus was sitting at the right hand of the Father, and they were waving and catching you eye to eye, every new person that came in, and that group is filtering onto the playing field of heaven, which is the sea of glass, just like all those athletes came into the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when they walked in nation by nation by nation?
Yeah.
And that doesn't ever stop. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, another 1,000 people an hour are pouring onto this dance floor of heaven, meeting with their family and friends who preceded them. Can you imagine the uproar that's occurring in heaven right now? So yesterday, she got to pass before the King of Kings, met eye to eye with her Savior, Jesus, was united with many who have preceded her into their reward, and is part of the celebration in the goodness of God that has been eternally prepared for those that love Him. I don't know about you, but that's pretty motivating for me to want to be a part of that.
I've seen that from a distance.
I want to be a part of that. My mother's there, my grandmother, you know, lots of people I've had in church. I've conducted so many funerals, I can't remember all of them, but they're waiting there for me. And the day will come when I pass before the throne of God and I'm a partaker of that rejoicing. So that's where she is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And our challenge is to live a repentant, servant, humble life, and suddenly all of this nonsense about dollars in Washington, D.C. gets pretty small. While I know it's an issue, and I know that there's chicanery going on, and I know there's manipulation of our currency, and I know it's all part of the plan of Revelation that's going to unwind the devil's stronghold on the earth, the truth is, it will all pass, and we will all appear before the judgment of Christ. and we will be part of that rejoicing. And if we don't ever lose sight of that and keep our focus in the right place, then all these other things take their rightful position as servitude to the master plan of God for our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was staring death in the face, I had the opportunity to get a glimpse of what you just described. So I know it's real. And yet yeah. I was not permitted to participate or even put my eyes on that, to witness it. But I knew what it was. I heard it. And I recognized the light.
I've been privileged to be there a couple of times.
My biggest concern was that I would not accomplish what I came here to do. And that has been the spirit that has driven me ever since since I came back.
Hmm. Yeah, once you get a taste of it, you definitely want to make sure you don't miss it.
Yes. Yes.
It's worth everything, whatever it cost me to be there doesn't matter to me, because nothing else here is more valuable than that.
Yes. Now, before you leave us this evening and we conclude the show, David, I want to let the listening audience know, though there are many that have actually seen your page on my website. I still have you up there, and I'll probably leave you there until Jesus comes.
Well, thank you. And after that.
But I've got much of the artwork posted there, your books, the things that you do. You've just done so many wonderful things throughout the world for people that don't even know you. And it's that spirit of giving that I would like to honor and acknowledge in you, because it affirms the validity, the truth in what you're saying here.
Let me encourage people who are listening here, Don. 30 years ago, God gave me an idea that I was able to put into Africa about 5 years ago. And since we did that, 100,000 junior high school students have given their life to Christ in Ghana. It's just remarkable to me the timing of God and what he has in mind, so that whatever path you might be on, people are listening out there, whatever path you might be on and whatever dreams you're holding that you think will never come to pass, I can tell you it's worth believing what God said. In spite of everything else, believe what he said and keep walking in that direction, and someday heaven will sneak up and surprise you in ways you never dreamed. I never dreamed in my life we would ever see 100,000 young people come to Christ on the other side of the ocean, but it's happening every day.
That's phenomenal. That really is.
I mean, some nights I'll lay in bed at night just am overwhelmed that God would let us be involved in something so simple and so effective that's changing so many young lives. It's remarkable. And God has something in mind for all of us if we'll just listen and pay attention.
Yes. Well, you have a number of websites. The one that I visit most frequently is Adopt a Lamb. That's the organization that's responsible for all of this, these miracles that are occurring, I'm sure.
Yes, sir. That's the one.
And we're
getting ready to expand in some other countries, so those numbers will start changing again before spring.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Now, I've told you this before, and I'm going to hold you to this. Okay. I've asked you this before. If there's any way that I can help you with a project that you're working on to help assist get the message out, this show is growing every night. There were more listeners, and I can measure that by my traffic rankings, the number of people that come to my website, the number of people that are downloading the archives, listening to shows just like this one tonight. There'll be many, many people led to listen to your message. And I just want to encourage you to call upon me to help you get a message out. If there's something special you're doing and I can help you, please, would you let me know that? I'd be happy to do that.
Well, I very much appreciate that. The thrust we're going to have for the next several months is we're going to try to get Adopt-A-Lamb in Mandarin, Chinese, in Spanish, French, and Arabic on our website, so that we can see those same results start occurring in other parts of the world.
Yes. Now, a way people can help would be to, I'd say, invest in some of the nice artwork and some of the unique items that you have. I've got a copy of 36 Bibles on one CD.
Yes, sir. That's a pretty unique CD, isn't it?
Yes, and I've got the whole Bible on the American flag, one-page Bible. That's on my website. I have the one with the flag. You also have one with a dove.
Uh-huh.
And it's mind-blowing to see the vision that this man has. I'm talking to the audience now. And to see something, to see the whole Bible on one page that you can actually frame and hang on your wall. I have that in my studio. And I look at it every day, and I'll read a verse. I never did get the loop. I went out and got one, and I have a big magnifying glass. But you can't see the print without using it like a jeweler's loop to magnify the text, but it's there. It's there in the image of the flag. What a great way to really connect, to bring God back into our country, into the symbol of our country. And so I want to honor you for those things. People getting those types of items would certainly help your cause, I'm sure.
Yes, sir. And just for just not much, a few dollars, it's between $10 and $25 a month, we're able to reach 1 to 3 children with a textbook, an Adopt-A-Lamb, and someone to teach that lesson to them every week for 20 weeks in the schools of Africa. So it's just such a cost-effective way of touching young lives that's so refreshing and so rewarding. I get letters over there from about every week from some of the kids. And to hear them tell, one young lady said that she got a copy of the book as a Muslim, became a Christian, and she led 20 of her friends to Christ. Well, I mean, that just is amazing to me. Totally amazing.
Yes. Yes, it is. And you've got some other inventions out on the market Jim Murray and I have actually talked about. Your name gets mentioned quite a bit during his interviews.
Jim is a real trip, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's a great guy, and the audience loves him.
Fascinating gentleman.
And we're
working with.
Go ahead.
You're saying. He's helping us in some projects and. We're actually trying to help him with some funding for his windmill research and trying to bring some free energy back to the earth, because God never intended for us to be enslaved and have to choose between heating our homes and eating.
Yes.
So Jim has committed himself to a lot of these projects. I really, really am blessed to know him.
Yes, me too, and I'm sure the listening audience feels the same way. I get a lot of mail about his interviews, and he's just an endless source of information. Oh, there she is again.
Yes.
Well, David, I guess we're out of time. I want to thank you, and I don't want to wait so long to have you back on the show. I think I know your message is very uplifting, and if you would come back, time permitting, could we have you back sooner?
Sooner than a year, probably, yeah. Maybe next time we can talk about some of the technologies.
Oh, I would love to do that. That's very important. Can we talk about the Hydro Dyno?
Sure, that would be great.
Okay.
That would be great.
That would be fantastic. All right. Well, I wish you the best. Have a safe trip back home also.
Yeah, we're coming back. We'll be home tomorrow.
And I wish you absolute 100% success in your endeavors while you're there in Las Vegas.
Well, thank you, Don. I appreciate it. I enjoyed being with you.
And my greetings to everybody at Millennial Technologies as well.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. You take care, David. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our guest, David High, will be back. You heard it for yourself. In the meantime, I want to thank Donald Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick for the sound, and for his persistence in getting through to Mr. High tonight. With that, I'm going to wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Special guest, Dr. Bill Deagle. And have a good night.